The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. If you take your neighbour to court, do not betray another's confidence, or the one who hears it may shame you and the charge against you will stand. A wicked person listens to deceitful lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down.
Okay, well, last week we were thinking about the power of the tongue, weren't we? The fact that there is power in the words we choose to use. We have the power to build people up or to tear them down. And this week we're going to hone in on one particular aspect of our speech, the topic of gossip. Because gossip just happens to be one of those things that affects each and every one of us on a daily basis, doesn't it? The truth is that we either all know a gossip, or we've heard some gossip, or we may well be a gossip ourselves. So what exactly is it? Well, the dictionary definition of gossip is this. It describes it as a casual conversation about somebody else which may or may not be true. You see, the reality is that as human beings, we just love a bit of juicy gossip, don't we? In our natural state, we love nothing more than to share a little bit of inside information about somebody else, even if it happens to be negative, especially if it happens to be negative. Why are we like that? Well, studies have shown that sharing negative information about somebody else in some strange way just seems to bond us together with other people more so than sharing positive information about others does. Apparently, it makes us feel like we've got a better relationship with that particular person that we're sharing that piece of gossip with. It makes us feel like we've got the same kind of sense of humour, that we're on the same kind of level, that we're connected to them in a deeper way. Not to mention the thrill there is in getting a little bit of inside information on somebody else and just sharing that with others. It all just tends to draw us a little bit closer together, apparently. We just love a bit of gossip, don't we? In fact, there are whole businesses, newspapers and magazine outlets that are built around this idea. They just thrive on it. Walk into any news agents these days and as you're queuing there, paying for your particular item, up there on the shelves you will see page upon page, row upon row of magazines that are devoted to dishing the dirt on a particular celebrity. In fact, nowadays, gossip isn't even considered a dirty word anymore, is it? It's accepted. It's part of people's everyday vocabulary. People just don't think about it much anymore. Reality TV shows like Desperate Housewives and even I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. They get their increased ratings, don't they, from a juicy bit of gossip that's shared there on screen. And then the person who it's about gets to find out, and then it all erupts and explodes and makes for great TV, apparently. It's a normal part of everyday life, you might say. But here's the thing. You know, it may be normal for everybody else, but as a Christian, we are called to be different. As followers of Jesus Christ, he doesn't want us to have anything to do with gossip. In fact, over in the New Testament, we see gossip listed as a sin, alongside things like murder and every kind of wickedness. If you turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, we also read these words. It says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." And then over in Titus chapter 3, verse 10, it has this to say. It says, "Warn divisive people once, and then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. So, as we can see, God's Word, the Bible, it takes gossip pretty seriously, doesn't it? And that means that we should too. So let's just turn back to the book of Proverbs, because Proverbs is a book that we've been in over the last few weeks, isn't it? And the book of Proverbs, it actually has a lot of interesting things to say on this particular subject as well. And the first thing it says, which can be found in Proverbs 18, verse 8, is this: the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of choice little morsels, I think of these things. Of Pringles, because Pringles are something that I just can't resist. Give me a tube of Pringles and I will munch through them of an evening quite easily. To me, Pringles are just simply irresistible. It even warns you, doesn't it, in the advertising, once you pop, you just can't stop. And it's true, isn't it? They're even shaped, if you have a look at them, to fit around your tongue, just to make them easier to eat, aren't they? Choice little morsels that go down to the inmost parts, just like gossip, which are also irresistible little tidbits, aren't they? Once popped, you just can't stop. You just can't take those words back easily. What did she do, we say, as we work our way down the box? Oh, really? And then what happened after that? And before we know it, we've taken in all of these choice little morsels, we've worked our way down the whole tube, and it really doesn't do our insides any good at all, does it? In fact, gossip, it becomes a little bit like that whispering game that we used to play as kids, doesn't it? I don't know if you remember it, you probably do. You sit in a line and the person at the start of the line says a sentence, and then by the time it's gotten to the other end, it's turned out completely differently to how it started. Well, that's very often how it is with gossip. It may well be true at the start, but because it shouldn't have been shared in the first place, the trouble is that by the time it's reached other people, it's become distorted in all sorts of terrible ways. And that's the thing with gossip, isn't it? Sometimes we just tend to excuse it because what we're saying about people is the truth. It's factual. I mean, we're not slandering anybody, are we? We're not telling lies about them. That's what slander is. No, we're telling the truth about them. The truth is that their marriage is breaking up, or they did end up being arrested. And so we excuse what we say because it's built around the truth. So what makes sharing the truth about somebody gossip? Well, I think there are two things really. The first is permission and the second is intent. You see, first of all, we need to ask ourselves, have I got the person's permission to share this information about them? Because it can be all too easy, can't it, to share information about others that was really only meant for our own ears. And as Christians, I think we can be particularly good at this, even disguising gossip as the good old prayer request. Of course, I'm just telling you these things so that you can be praying about them. You see, they're going through a little bit of a rough patch at the moment. Their marriage has hit a bit of a bump. I hear there's another woman on the scene, but I just want you to be praying about them. Well, if that's the kind of thing that we're doing, then we need to stop ourselves and check with the person, first of all, that they want that particular bit of information shared with others. In my position as a pastor, obviously people are sharing things about themselves on a daily basis. And so I always try and make a point of asking them whether or not they want me to share that bit of information with other people. And if not, or if I don't have their permission, I simply don't share it. Unless, of course, it happens to be a safeguarding matter, in which case I tell them first that I may well have to inform another person about it just for their own safety and good. But the point is that we need to check first that what we're being told can be shared before we do so, even when it comes to those seemingly insignificant things, even if it's factual and true. As someone has put it, everything that is said must be true, but not that everything that is true must be said. I like that. Everything that's said must be true, but not everything that's true must be said. So first of all, we need to ask, do I have their permission? Otherwise, we shouldn't be sharing it at all. Then secondly, what's the intent? What's the motive? Why are we sharing those things we are? What's the reasons behind doing so? You see, very often we share things, don't we, to kind of make ourselves feel a little bit better about ourselves. We share stories in such a way that kind of lifts us up and brings other people down. Or we might do it to get other people on our side so that they begin to see things from our own perspective. So secondly, we need to ask, what's the motive? What's the intent behind why we're sharing what we're sharing? Having already gotten their permission to share, are we sharing these things out of a real concern for them? Or have we got ulterior motives? So why do we need to be so concerned about gossip? Well, the Bible says that it's primarily because it hurts people and it ruins relationships. In fact, it hurts all sorts of people. First of all, it hurts the subject, the person being spoken about. Just take a look over at Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 28, and we read these words. The perverse stir up dissension, and gossips separate close friends. As we said, gossip is devastating to relationships. It separates close friends when the kind of intimate information that close friends know about is then gone and shared with other people. And some of you will know exactly what I'm speaking about. Some of you will know exactly what it feels like to have a close friend share something that you told them confidentially, and then they've gone and told somebody else. It kind of almost feels a little bit like a betrayal, doesn't it? Maybe you told them about that particular person that you had feelings for, and word has now got out, and it's caused that person that you like to become kind of awkward around you, and it's kind of ruined everything for you. Or maybe it was that addiction that you're struggling with, and your friend, maybe out of the goodness of their own heart and under a prayer request, goes and tells other people about it, and that's gotten back to you, and now you wonder who you can trust. It's set you back. Or perhaps your spouse went and shared something in a women's group or with a men's group about something in your marriage which they didn't bother checking about with you first. And so it's all now kind of blown up. As we read here, this proverb says, a gossip separates close friends. And so gossip hurts, first of all, the subject of that gossip. So who else? Well, secondly, it hurts the spectator as well, the one who hears and listens to that particular piece of gossip. Just take a look at Proverbs 17, verse 4. It says, a wicked person listens to deceitful lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. If you think that you're okay because you are only a spectator, that you only heard the gossip, that you didn't actually speak it or spread it, then this verse tells us something very different. It says, a wicked person listens to deceitful lips. It says, a liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. Someone has put it this way, what you permit, you promote. If we're going to allow someone else to run someone else down and say stuff about them that just shouldn't be said, then in God's eyes, we are just as bad as they are. And we mustn't think that just because they're saying these things about other people, that they won't also end up saying them about ourselves when our backs are turned. So spectating, merely listening to gossip, is really as bad as gossiping itself. And then the third person that's hurt because of gossip is the sharer themselves. A paraphrase of Proverbs chapter 25, verses 9 and 10 says this, when arguing with your neighbour, don't betray another person's secret. Others may accuse you of gossip and you will never regain your good reputation. Just think for a moment. Who has ever heard of somebody else gossiping about somebody else and thought to themselves, you know what, I want to be just like them. I want to go around telling other people all about other people's business. The fact is, none of us think like that, do we? I'll tell you what I think when I hear someone gossiping. First of all, I think, well, you know, they don't have a lot of conversation themselves. They're not really a very interesting individual if they're just talking about other people all of the time. In other words, they really need to get out more. They need to do something with their own time so that they've got some of their own business to be talking about rather than everybody else's. And then I also begin to wonder what they're saying about me, behind my back. And because of that, I usually hold off saying anything to them about my own personal business because I don't want it shared with other people. The fact is that people who gossip, as this proverb said, they get a bad reputation, even if they don't realise it themselves. People avoid confiding in them because they just can't be trusted. So as we can see, gossip ends up affecting everybody that's involved, the subject, the spectator, and the sharer alike. Nobody gets off lightly when it comes to this one. The fact is that it destroys relationships, it kills trust, it ruins morale, it creates tension, it causes anxiety and division between people. So what can be done about it? What can be done to stop it? Well, here are a couple of things. See, first of all, Proverbs tells us that we need to watch our tongues. Just listen again to Proverbs 21, verse 23 from that paraphrase. Watch your tongue, it says, and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. I like that version. That's great advice, isn't it? Watch your tongue, keep your mouth shut, and stay out of trouble. How many of us wish that we'd done that in the past? As we said last week, we need to think before we speak. We need to ask ourselves before we're tempted to gossip, if the roles were reversed, would I want those same things said about me? Or as Jesus puts it in his own words there in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, do to others what you would have them do to you. And if you wouldn't want what you're about to say about someone else said about you, then as the proverb says, keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. So watch our tongue. That's what we're to do first. And then the Proverbs also tell us that we are to guard our ears. Proverbs 20 and verse 19 says this, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. In other words, the less contact you have with a loose-lipped person, the better off you'll be. But for some of us, that's quite difficult, isn't it? Because we might happen to live with a gossip, or we work with them, or we just happen to spend a lot of time around these kind of people. So what do we do then? How can we guard our ears when gossip is being shared in the staff room or at the coffee shop? Well, how about asking them a question? When that choice little morsel has just dropped out of their mouth, why not say something like, well, have you spoken to so-and-so about that? What did they say? And do they actually mind you sharing this with me? Because saying that kind of thing will hopefully cause them just to stop in their tracks and take a moment to think about what they're saying. And if we get in the habit of saying that each and every time we hear a bit of gossip, then that other person might just get the idea. Or, if you like, and you're that way inclined, then you can be a bit more upfront and direct about it and just hit the issue head on with them. Call it out for what it is. Who says so? Well, Jesus says so. These aren't my words, they're his. If you take a look back in the book of Matthew again, you'll see there that Jesus says in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 18, in the context of dealing with sin and resolving conflict, he says, if your brother or sister sins against you, then go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, then you have won them over. So there it is. But whatever we do, let's not remain silent when it comes to gossip. Let's guard our ears. And the way to do that is to be proactive about it. It's to say something and confront the gossip in an effort to stop it right there in its tracks. Which is exactly what Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20 goes on to say. It says, without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. In other words, lastly, it's telling us that we need to move our feet. We need to get out of there. Don't add to the fire by sticking around and engaging with that gossip and adding more fuel to it. If we've watched our tongues, if we've guarded our ears, if we've asked that particular question and challenged them, but they're still not bothered and they're continuing to gossip, then the best thing to do is just to walk away. I mean, we don't have to be all dramatic about it, but just go to the bathroom or grab a drink or go back to our desk and do some work. But we must do something. We mustn't just stand there and add fuel to the fire. Now, this morning, we may well be thinking, well, Gary, that's great. I'm glad we've covered these kind of issues. They're very practical, very helpful. I don't actually have a problem with gossip myself, but I do know someone who does. And I can tell you about them if you like. And if that's the case, then probably we need to go back and have a look at the Bible again and what it says on these particular issues, because we might have more to learn than we first think. Because once again, the Lord says that gossip will destroy our relationships, not only with others, but ultimately with Him. You see, this kind of sin, it separates us from Him and it leads to death, which is why we need His forgiveness as well as His help to overcome it. We need a new heart, as we spoke about last week, because that's where our words ultimately come from, isn't it? For out of the heart, the mouth speaks, the Bible says. But then equally, if we've been on the receiving end of gossip, if we've been the victim of gossip and those rumours that have hurt us deeply, then we can also find comfort in Christ, knowing that He has also experienced the worst kind of gossip on the way to the cross. In the Gospels, when you read through them in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, we're told that there was a sham of a trial, and during it, Jesus was falsely accused and he was passed around a bit like a chess piece. He had people speaking about him behind his back before he was wrongly condemned to the cross. And so Jesus knows exactly what it's like to be gossiped about. He's experienced everything that we've been through and much, much more. As we said earlier, gossips thrive on putting other people down to lift themselves up. They love making themselves feel strong by making other people feel weak. But you know, that's where the good news of the gospel is different, isn't it? As God's children, we recognise that we are weak, but that He is strong. And therefore, we don't need to step on people or gossip about them to try and get ahead and get the better of others. When we recognise just who we are and whose we are, then we don't have to put other people down in order to be accepted and liked and loved. Instead, knowing that we are loved unconditionally by our Creator God, our hearts can be transformed by the Holy Spirit. And once again, if we've been on the receiving end of gossip, then we will also begin to understand that it's not what others may say about us that really matters, but what our Creator, the God of the universe, says about us that really matters. You see, the gossip claims, I am strong because they are weak. But the gospel proclaims, I am weak, but He is strong. Isn't that wonderful news? Well, we're going to finish with a song now that speaks of where our words should be directed to. So the one who made us and has saved us. He has called us out of darkest night into His glorious light, it says, that we might sing the wonders of the risen Christ. May the peoples praise you. Let's sing this together.